hurt nothing to be on there. Because it's a true statement. They meant it as a joke, but it is a true statement and still funny. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. That's true. It's true. It's true. I think my sister sent me those. Now, the rest of them are good, too, but that was the one that kicked in. Because every time I come here, well, maybe not every time, but a lot of times when I come here, I'm reminded of where I used to go and what I used to hear.
Yeah.
And what I used to put up with, Walter.
Sure.
I'm glad I don't anymore. And Penny, your problems with your relatives, they'll do what they want to do anyway. And I have actually come to the conclusion that some relatives I'm better off without. Because I got my brothers and sisters here. And I've got some brothers and sisters that I do like. And I don't mind spending time with. And some of them are not worth the aggravation. And that's just the God's honest truth. They're not. But coming here is always worth the trip.
Yeah.
Even if on the getting close to Easter, the traffic gets to be an irritation. Because it's getting awful traffic-y the last couple of weeks. But anyhow, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. And for those of you who don't know, that's the first book in the Bible. And we got some late arrivals. Come on in. It's not a problem. You're here. That's the main thing.
Better late than not at all.
Then we're turning to Genesis chapter 28. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, I'm not going to talk about tithing, okay, or giving a tenth. Give as God laid on your heart. But anyhow, the reason I picked this is I was looking through some stuff I had written about 20-some years ago. It was a long time ago. And I was working in a job. I had a lot of time because I was selling stuff. And, you know, sales, when people don't come in, can get kind of boring. So luckily it was an office supply store. We sold desks and chairs. And we also had sold typewriters. And I would sit down and type something up that I get to thinking about. And this is one of the verses that I'd written something on. And I read it and I said, you know, that actually does make sense. Which surprised me, being from 20-something years ago. But I wanted to speak to you a little bit here about this vow of Jacob, that Jacob made. This is the next morning after Jacob had had the dream of the ladder, which was placed on earth and reached into the heaven. And he had seen the angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder. Now, when you read this statement out loud, just reading it, it sounds like Jacob was striking a deal with God. I mean, that's what people take it as.
Yeah, that's what they think.
Because I've heard them. And I think that's why I wrote this down so many years ago. I think it was a guy on the radio I'd heard talking about this. And of course, he went totally in what we would call a free will Arminian direction with it. But Jacob made this vow. And I like this vow. Because it's a good vow. Now, in reading this, I thought about the kinds of vows you hear about. There are all kinds of vows made to God. Most of them are bad. Preachers make them, and they also encourage other people to make them. And most of them fall under the heading of this. Now, this is not just a general bad vow. Falls under the heading of this. If you get me out of this, God, I'll be a good boy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm guilty of that. Matter of fact, that is so ingrained in my psyche, I have to watch myself not to do it now.
Sure, that's right.
It's human.
Yeah.
When you're in a situation that you have absolutely no control over, and there's a threat in it, and you put yourself in it, usually. I know I put myself in a lot of places that I should have been, should not have been, excuse me. And I'm ashamed to say that I'm guilty of not keeping my word. Of breaking my vow that I made. So are most people. There are not many of these vows that get kept. Mostly because of something we call the depravity of man. Other people just say, oh, well, never mind. Because never mind the fact that had you been a good boy to start with, you wouldn't have been in that hole to start to get there to need that. But some of these vows, I've heard the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. When there is an actual real threat of death, from battle or from sometimes just illness, life, whatever, pain, people will cry out unto God and make a vow. Those that survive, a lot of those get broken. They'll cry out whether they believe him or not. Now, these types of vows are usually forgotten sometime after the threat of death or threat of injury or the pain has passed. Now, there are a few who may endeavor to keep them and possibly are successful as far as men are concerned. But that depends upon the definition of the word be a good boy, good, in this statement. I'm always reminded of that young man that came and called Christ good master, and he said, why callest thou me good?
Yeah.
There's none good but God. And if you read that account, he never calls him good again. These vows that people make in times of pain, in times of trouble, for the most part, are of no value. They are of no value to Christ because they actually have nothing to do with Christ and everything to do with getting out of trouble. That's what it's all about. Now, when I spoke at first about preachers and people making vows, they come up to the front of a church and make a vow. These vows fall under the heading, I've made my profession, so Christ has to save me. I walked the aisle, I prayed the prayer. Now, most of them walked the aisle and prayed the prayer because the preacher begged them to, or their wife nagged them to, or whatever. It seems like an extenuating circumstance or an outside thing. But those kind of vows are what we call unscriptural and an offense to the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. because all of these vows that are made by these people, basically, they're trying to bargain with God.
Yeah.
If you do something for me, I'll do something for you. That's it. That's all it is. And the scripture talks about people who preach this way as they'd make merchandise of your souls.
Amen. That's right.
And there are preachers who make a living, and a darn good one, preaching what we call the health and wealth gospel, where if you give, God will give back to you. And God will. And God does. But not the way these preachers preach it. Anyhow, these preachers who use the word grace, but what they describe is works. And there are people who believe it because they think they'll get something of it. Because of it. These vows, made by many, I've heard it. You've heard it too. I gave Jesus my heart. There's preachers ever said, give Jesus your heart and he'll save you. You do something for him, he'll do something for you. That's not what Jacob said here. I said, Jacob made a vow to God, and it's a good vow. And I want to look at what he said. Saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. How much of that did Jacob say he'd do? Not a piece of it. Jacob laid it all on God. That's a good statement. The reason why this is a good vow is because in this vow, the Lord's taking all the actions. God does all the doing in this vow. And that's the kind of vow I can keep. Matter of fact, that's the only kind of vow I can keep. And Jacob knew that. God, if you are with me and keep me and give me what I need, I can live with that. Jacob's vow had nothing for Jacob to do in it, because the Lord does it all. Jacob believed God. And God's people, Christ's brethren, believe. Basically, we believe because we can't do anything else. I can't not believe, Mason. Not anymore. I might not believe in myself, but I know him. And I can't not believe in him. I might doubt my part in it. I might doubt sometimes whether I have a part in it at all. But I never doubt him. Jacob was looking to the Lord for salvation. His salvation. And Jacob was making that statement. Now he confessed that the Lord had to do it all, or it wouldn't be done. And this is because Jacob knew God. In this vow, Jacob confessed his total dependency upon the God of all grace. Jacob confessed that he could do nothing to be with God, or keep himself with God, or feed and clothe himself without God. That's not the health and wealth gospel. Jacob didn't offer anything to him, didn't give him anything, didn't say he would do anything. Matter of fact, he says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go. He didn't even promise to follow after. Although he did. Jacob confessed that salvation, everything, comes from the Lord. Jacob was looking to the Lord, the same way a sheep looks to a shepherd. The sheep looks to the shepherd for food, for water, for shelter, for protection, for everything.
Amen. Yeah.
And Jacob was looking to God for to be with him.
Yeah.
On my own, I can't be with God. But if God's with me,
yeah,
I got it all.
Yeah.
I have it all. And you have it all too. If God is with you. And if God be for you, ain't nothing against you. Nothing that matters. That's why I say this is a good vow. I can't come to him. I can't follow him. I can't do anything of myself.
Amen.
The Lord has to provide. Jacob was confessing, the Lord doesn't need me, I need the Lord. God must be with me because I cannot put myself with God. The Lord must keep me because I can't keep myself. I'll stray, I'll wander. God must give me food to eat and clothes to wear because everything comes from the Lord's hand. This is a vow that confesses the inability of Jacob, and it's by Jacob. It's a good vow. Now the last part, Jacob states this part, and this is the part that a lot of people have trouble with. Then shall the Lord be my God. Now, contrary to popular belief, this is not a bargain. It's not conditional in the sense that, okay, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. It's not what Jacob's saying here. He's not haggling. This is not a result of conditions met. This is Jacob admitting and confessing that this is the way the Lord shall be my God, because the Lord does it. And that's the only way it can be. This is a statement of faith. This is the way that God works. If God does it, it's forever.
Amen. Yeah.
Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men should fear him. The only way for the Lord to be my God is if the Lord will be with me.
Yeah.
And if the Lord will keep me. And if the Lord will feed me and clothe me. That's the only way. Because it's his way. Because then he is my Lord and my God. Because the inverse is also true. If God will not be with me and will not keep me, he's not my Lord. And that's the world we got today. Because they don't want a Lord that does it all. They don't want a God who is sufficient and who provides salvation complete for them. They want something to do. They want something to do. Because it bothers their self-esteem if they can't provide something God needs. If you want to use the popular psychology term of the day. They want to feel like they earned it. Even though they say they don't earn it. I got into a conversation with a radio personality one time. I forget his name, but it's a guy from the Church of Christ or Church of God, Church of Christ. And I talked to him on the radio. He actually had a call-in program. And so I called in. Well, it was Debbie's phone bill, so I called in and we talked on the phone and it was going out over the radio. And he, at the end of this discussion, toward the end of the discussion, he got to the point where he said, "You sound like God saves you arbitrarily." And I started to say, sure, as far as I'm concerned, it is arbitrary because I don't have anything to do with it. But I asked him a question in response, and I said, "Did you deserve to be saved?" And of course he said, "No, I don't deserve to be saved because you can't say that." I said, "Then God must have been pretty arbitrary in saving you." And he said, "We got to go." Basically is what it come down to. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is arbitrary. When I was in my lost state, I was not seeking God. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't pounding the hedges in the hill row and going to churches different places. No, I went where I had to go because my mom would get upset if I didn't. And then God changed something. He found me.
Yeah.
And that's what Jacob's saying here, if God will be with me. And I'll tell you something. When he comes to that person and he looks upon you in your own blood, polluted in your own blood, and he looks upon you and he says, "Live." And he says, "Live," and you live. You will live. When God says live, you'll live. When Christ called Lazarus, he lived. God is with you. Right then, right there. And he will always be with you. And that's what Jacob's talking about here. And not only that, God will keep you. We are kept by the power of faith. Power of faith. Power of God through faith. Excuse me. Said it wrong. We are kept by the power of God through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Because Ephesians 2:8 is still in the Bible. The only way for the Lord to be my God is if the Lord will be with me and will keep me. And if God's not with me and he's not keeping me, he's not. And I can't do anything about that either. The Lord had to be with Jacob and the Lord had to keep Jacob or it wouldn't happen. Jacob knew that. Because there is only one way. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he didn't stop there either. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's good stuff. If God will be with me and will keep me. No man comes to the Father but by Christ. And I believe Jacob knew that. I wish preachers knew it. I wish everyone knew that. But it takes the grace of the sovereign God to bring that knowledge to a man. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. for they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
And he can't know them. That includes the elect before the Holy Spirit gives them life.
Yeah.
Before God says live. And that included Jacob until the Lord revealed himself to Jacob. Now the other reason this is a good vow that Jacob vowed is if you back up about four verses, God just promised all this to him. In verse 13, Genesis 28, and behold, the Lord stood above it. This is in his dream where he saw the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you rest, thou liest, I underlined it and I can't read it, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.
Yeah.
And Jacob woke up and said, wow, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
God had just promised all of this to Jacob. And Jacob said, if you'll keep me, if you'll be with me, if you'll keep me, and you'll give me what I need, you are the Lord indeed, and you are my Lord. The Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob just revealed himself to Jacob and promised this to Jacob. And as far as this being with me and keeping thee, he's promised that to every one of his children. Now, I'm not going to go into the thing about the land. I'll let Walter handle that. Because Jacob knew, he found out God does it all.
Yeah, God does it.
He even told Jacob what to say and when to say it. And he told whoever it was to write it down for us. Now they can wrest as many scriptures as they want to their own destruction. But I'll declare this. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob is the sovereign Lord of salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period. He is the Lord of grace. And he is the Lord of glory. Jacob knew this.
Yes.
And that's why he vowed that vow. Because God has to do it all. Or it won't get done.
Yeah, it won't get done.
It's that simple. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen.
Amen. That's right.
And if he purposed it, he'll do it. Our Heavenly Father, excuse me, we are thankful that you are the sovereign Lord of creation, God of all the heaven and earth, and that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to save his people from their sins. Because without him, without you, without the Spirit, there is no salvation. You planned, you purposed, and you provided. And now you give. And we receive. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.